You're listening to From the Archives, an NHPR production. I'm Eric Larrabee. Most New Englanders know about the Salem Witch Trials, a particularly notorious episode in colonial Massachusetts. It resulted in the executions of 20 people for suspected witchcraft in 1692 and 93. Less widely known is that over three decades earlier, Portsmouth, New Hampshire had its own witch hunt chapter. For more, we turn to reporter Robbie Honig. From the Archives, her story from June 1988.
There were witches in Portsmouth in the 1650s, that is, if you call a woman of power and stature a witch. Today, that sort of accusation might or might not cause a stir, but it certainly wouldn't be grounds for a trial. But just such a trial was held in Portsmouth in 1656 to see if Jane Walford, landowner, healer, and one of the pillars of the young community, was indeed a witch. The Walfords had come to what is now Portsmouth from Essex County, England in 1631, having been banished from Boston for unorthodox behavior. In those days, remember, that unorthodox meant anything not sanctioned by the Puritans. The Walfords soon became large landowners, and Jane Walford reportedly worked on her skills as a healer. By all accounts, a strong and forthright woman, Walford befriended the few Indians left on the land and incorporated some of their healing ways into her own. But 25 years later, despite the stature she'd achieved, Jane Walford was formally accused of witchcraft. Historian Bruce Ingmeyer.
There were all sorts of depositions taken about whether Jane was a witch. People from all over this community showed up to say, she is a witch. And she made my heart beat, and my husband was sick in bed, and she came to visit him, and he had delusions. And there were many inter-fights in the community that come out in this witch trial. And the interesting part is that we don't realize that Portsmouth was a settlement of people from all over England, people from Essex like the Walfords, people from Hants or Hampshire, people from York.
Interesting, says Ingmeyer, because in part it was this very diversity, plus the turmoil of settling a new and compelling land, that the witch trials were to reach the height they did in the New World. Even though the stage had been set in Europe, where witch trials had been raging since the 15th century, in New England there were new forces at work.
Therein lies the second part of the story. If a witch was accused in New England of witchcraft, she lost her land. Witchcraft was a capital punishment. That means you lost your life if you were convicted of witchcraft. And in the process of your conviction, you lost your land. That was the first step. And now people are beginning to find out that often the accusers were after that land.
The land, perhaps an understandable subject for passionate dispute. In Portsmouth Harbor, settlers had found great islands reminiscent of the island nation they'd left. These were nestled in cozy, protected harbors, which gave way to what was in those days a primeval pine forest with a canopy so thick and undisturbed, muses Ingmeyer, that a squirrel could have walked from the coast to the Great Lakes on the tops of the trees. In addition to the wild and new terrain, this was a place with no royal government, no form of control besides the Puritan town council with its own peculiar agenda.
The Puritan ethic was the one that was willing to prosecute a witch because they wanted to get rid of the evil in the world.
Historian Bruce Ingmeyer has found in researching the life of Jane Walford that it was most likely a combination of greed for land and that strict code of behavior imposed by Puritan ethics that were largely responsible for her ordeal. But Jane Walford was, as Ingmeyer puts it, no shrinking violet. She was someone who might be called a feminist today, and someone with documented healing skills. In a new land with new rules about land ownership, she was one of the first women to herself own land. All this may have made her the object of envy, even fear, but not hatred, says Ingmeyer.
I don't think they hated Jane. They were afraid of if she was in league with bad forces or anybody. Today we don't dislike politicians, but we're always afraid that they're going to use their power for negative purposes or for their own aggrandizement, and that's the same with a witch. Think about the opening there of Wizard of Oz when the lady comes down in the star, you know, and she says, are you a good witch or are you a bad witch? The good witch Glenda is trying to say there's good witches and there's bad witches, and I think those people then knew they were good witches. And Jane Walford was a good witch.
Or not a witch at all. Jane Walford was never condemned for witchcraft. In fact, it was the same community that had accused her that later stood up for her in court. The Puritan judges found her innocent because it could not be proved that she had been responsible for any damage to the community. Looking back, says historian Bruce Ingmeyer, Jane Walford not only triumphed in pre-colonial Portsmouth, but for all time.
And that's the interesting part of the story. It's these women that survive in the records. No, very few of these. We don't know who even, hardly know the wife of the Puritan minister, but we know the wife of Thomas Walford, the witch.
In Portsmouth for WEVO, this is Robbie Honig.
That's Robbie Honig reporting in 1988. New Hampshire Public Radio wouldn't be incorporated for another couple of years. At the time, we operated just the one transmitter in the capital region, WEVO. To uncover more hidden stories, keep following NHPR's From the Archives project. Check out our blog at nhpr.org.